Okay, guys. We're gonna call, order the council work session for, today. And then after we get through, we'll recess. Then we'll call the meeting back to order and do, go through all the formalities, pledge allegiance and all of that. So today set on our work policy is, the personnel policy. So basically, this is gonna be a Tracy show, is my understanding. Plus, I see it written right here. So, Tracy, it's all yours.
So there's a few changes in the personnel policy that's in your packet, which do include the strike-throughs from the original one that you received in October. We have added some sections that have to deal with attendance, and at what point we can have disciplinary actions or either let an employee go for too many absences. We also have doctor's excuse requirements for those absences. And then since your packet, since the packet went out, there's just one minor change that Becky Cash called, where we are attempting to change the probation period from 6 months to 1 year. And I had not changed the 6 months in one of the sections. It was still at 6 months, and I had not changed it to 1 year. So that change has been made at the beginning of the personnel policy.
Can I interrupt as she goes? Oh, this is a workshop, right? So, I was just saying, where is that? Did you change that from 6 months to 12? And do we have that in this one?
Yes.
Oh, it is,
yes.
Correct here.
So, well,
okay.
What you have includes a section that goes from 6 months to 1 year.
Okay.
But the 6 months was referenced in more than one section, and I hadn't called it in all sections.
Oh, okay.
So Becky Cash called that, and I changed that Monday morning, and that was somewhere towards the beginning of the personnel policy. It just still said 6 months.
Okay,
so that's the only change since the packet was given to you all. So where would you all like to start with the changes or questions?
Guys, why don't you just start with the changes and we go from there? You just
the strike-throughs?
Go through the strike-throughs and where you're changing it.
Okay.
So if you did a strike-through and changed it, yeah, just let us know.
Okay, here is the 6 year to 1 month, 1 year, 6 months to 1 year. That's in the probationary period right up top.
What page is that?
That is page 17.
Okay.
Then the first major change would be to the police take-home policy. In the first draft that was presented to you all in October, it said within 15 miles of town limits. This strike-through includes 20 miles or within the county. And I understand that might need to be changed now.
Okay, yeah, can we do, would it be okay if we did it section by section when she brought it in? Would everybody be in favor of that?
Well, you know, I'm not following you. 17 was not where this...
Look at the bottom, the page is on the bottom.
Well, you can read it on the...
Right there.
I can't read that.
Oh. You know me.
Okay.
No, it doesn't, it's not. Last thing I have is talking about off-site work on page 17.
Can you enlarge the font on the board?
You might be on slide 17, not that 17 of...
Okay, I don't need to follow it.
All right, so what I would like to do now, if we get it one that we know we want to discuss, which is this one, we stop, work on some, see if we can come something that we're all in agreement in, and then move on.
Yes.
So is that suitable to council? Okay. I would like to just start one thing on this one, and I'm going to give you my reasoning for it. And Chief, there is nothing against, I understand, but I think the county of Amherst is too broad. And the reason I say that, if you live up on 130 at the Blue Ridge, it's going to take you almost an hour to respond to town. And especially in bad weather, it may take you longer than an hour. I think a mileage that we have, 20 miles would be good, because that's going to, you know, in reality...
That's going to cover most of the county.
Yeah, but it's not going to cover the parts that I'm talking about. It's not air miles, it's road miles.
Right.
So it's not gonna cover all the way up there at the Blue Ridge Parkway. The Blue Ridge Parkway this way, it's not gonna quite get there. So, you know, and all the side roads off of that, it's gonna cut, like, if you live 636, you know, up next, you know where that is, up next to the...
635?
All the way up top, right before you get to that, 635, 636.
635 was Pleasant View.
Yeah, down on your right.
Okay.
If you turn right and go down the mountain, that goes up to where some old towers used to be. You will never make that, and that won't be 20 miles. So I think that gives a reasonable justice to, if you want to live in Madison Heights, you're good, because you, if it's a code 3 incident, you're going to make it in 15 minutes or less at 20 miles away.
Well, if this 20 miles becomes a problem, we can always come back.
We can come back and readjust it. So I just wanted to throw that out in the beginning, because I think, and the one other thing that I see, I know Chief Watts sees from, O'Kenna sees from his time here, and Jared sees from being a fire department employee. Today, in today's world now, our small town, we're not going to get anybody.
No, we're not.
They can't afford to pack up and move. And that causes an issue. So I'm going to open it back up to y'all. I've spoke my piece, so if the end, I want to jump back in, but that's where I want to go. I would like to see us go with it.
So we have it now where all of our police officers can take their car home up to 20 miles.
5 miles.
Five miles.
It's 5 miles.
But we want to change it to 20.
Yeah.
And just ask a question, because I just want to know. As far as police officers, where are they required to live now?
Within 5 miles of the town.
You cannot require them to live anywhere by state code. You can only decide what you're willing to allow them to do with a car. There is no provision in state code to require any employee other than your manager or department directors to live anywhere.
So if we get somebody who wants to live at the Blue Ridge Parkway...
No, you're cutting me off.
Let him finish.
Yeah, you're cutting me off. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to get a clear understanding of what we're doing. So we want to move it from 5 miles to 20 miles.
Right.
And right now our police officers can live anywhere they want to live. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And but they have to drive their own car. If they live past...
More than 5 miles.
Anything more than 5 miles, they got to drive their own car.
Okay.
Which is hindering the employment issue.
Why? It seemed like we had an issue with police having to live in the town.
So we did originally, in the old personnel policy, which is still is actually stated that way, that you had to live within 5 miles. It was found maybe about 2 years ago that, according to the Code of Virginia, we cannot require that.
Definitely.
As Mr. Duffin was saying, you can only require your county admin, your town manager, the department heads, your chief to live within your limits. So your other employees underneath them, you don't have the right to require them to live within your locality. But we were trying to change that with the take-home mileage limit. But other localities don't have that short of a distance of a limit, or they allow their officers or deputies to take the cars within other counties. So, you know, a lot of people are staying somewhere else because they still have that take-home car opportunity. So even though we can't require them to live in town, we could do the take-home car requirement, which is still hindering people from wanting to come here.
Yeah. Now, just my opinion, the 20 miles, but then the word anywhere in the county, like the mayor was bringing up, that can go too far. I mean, just 20 miles, bottom line, not way up on top of 130 or something like that.
Right, that's not 20 miles.
That's more than 20 miles.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. We can't allow that.
Yeah, so we can take out the county part,
yeah,
and leave the 20.
That's what I'm saying.
Leave the 20. Yeah.
That's my opinion.
That was my opinion too.
Yeah.
We're on the market
for
that. So, okay. Ready for Mr. Watts?
Go.
Go. Yeah, you got it. Go.
No, I was thinking about laughing. If they live up at the park where they can live up there, but they can't take the car home, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And as a policy
which
now,
means they won't be on call.
Right, or there'll be liability if they get a call and they have to hurry up here, and let's just say the weather's like today, and they come busting into town in their private car,
yeah,
and something happens, and he wraps it around a tree. He's on duty because we called him out, but he's in his personal vehicle.
Yeah.
That causes all kinds of legal wackadoodle, yeah, stuff.
Well, that's not even going to be a part of the consideration,
correct? Correct, correct.
I have heard the argument made that, that wear and tear on the vehicles could be an issue, but as I understand it, in today's world, with all the equipment they have on the cars, that those cars run from the time that they start them up in the morning to the time they cut them off in the evening. Is that correct, Chief?
Yes, sir.
So basically, the mileage is not now.
That's not
the
deal that idling's
with. Yeah, it's the idling part. That's what runs the vehicles down, but they have no choice because of all the stuff in the vehicle. Because they used to get on us back in the day when I had a dog, police dog, had to leave mine running all the time.
With
air conditioning on. And they used to get on us all the time. You know, you're leaving your car running. Or citizens, you're leaving, well, you want my dog to die. You know. So, and our cars, our dog cars actually ran down faster than the mileage that the state police said we could turn our vehicles in because they ran all the time. It wasn't the miles. It was
I was corrected one time when we were buying cars as a council. And I was like, why are you buying so many cars? It only has, you know, so many miles. And that's when it was explained. It's not the tire miles.
I don't want to encourage our officers to live a far distance away. And I want to encourage them to, if they're going to take the job, to live close by. And really, to me, 20 miles is a long ways. Right there, given the 20 miles, that's very lenient if you ask me.
Well, we can encourage them to live closer.
Certainly.
But I think where they're having a problem is recruiting people in today's world. In my time, it wasn't a big problem. Yeah, I want to come. I live in town. Not a big deal. Today, that's not the case. People don't want to recruit. They've already bought a place.
But within 20 miles.
Right.
I mean, that's decent.
Yeah, no, it is. You know. I'm just saying that that's not unreasonable, I don't think.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, technically now, if we got somebody who wants to drive their own car, they can live in Campbell County.
Yeah.
And say, well, because we can't restrict, but we can restrict the car.
May I ask you a question?
Yes,
someone, because I spoke to the community. I've been an advocate for the police to live in town for various reasons. Probably the obvious. But listening to you guys, y'all answer some of my questions. But one of the questions I have, if I may interrupt you speaking, if we have a police officer that's on call. I don't know how this works, but
you'll have to ask the chief about the calls because I don't know.
Well,
how
let's say there's an officer that's on call tonight, and they're required to live in Amherst, okay? And so they take the car and drop it, put off in Amherst. But they don't do they have to spend the night at their home, or could they be visiting their parents in Lynchburg while they're on call? You see what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, if they're on call, so they're on call from 1 o'clock. Or in the morning to 5, and day shifts on call from 5 to 7. I mean, they're free to do kind of whatever they want, but they are required if they get that call to come to work.
So,
but they're not going to take their work vehicle to Lynchburg
correct.
To go visit their
but,
family.
But we don't, we as a council or as, I don't know how to ask this, if you're on call tonight, we know you can't, you have your car, you go back to your home. Let's just say you want to go visit friends tonight, and you leave your car at your house, but you want to go to Lynchburg and visit people over there. If you get a notice that you need to be here, I mean, that's okay. You're able to do that. You're able to go somewhere else, but you have to come back to get your car.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, on-call officers do not have to be in town.
Correct.
Okay, that is.
That dealt with when I worked. I mean, I was on call for a week at a time, and from
you didn't sit at home
from Tuesday at 5 o'clock till Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock. I didn't have to stay at home. I could be I went to Richmond one time while I was on call. Mm. And I called them and said, hey, I'm in Richmond, just to let you know, you give me a call, and okay. We'll work it out. So, I don't know how they work, but I mean, yeah.
So it's not so much the, okay, that's
because if
y'all know what I'm trying to do.
Here's the other thing I'm going to throw in real quick. If they restricted him to home, we would have to pay him.
For the whole time he was there.
For the whole time he was there, because he's on call, which is restricted. You can't leave home, you can't leave the town. We would have to pay him.
Okay. Well, another person said to me, because I want, you know, Bobby Motley living next door to me like it used to be, you know, the old time. But, and I also remember at one time, if I'm not mistaken, that police officers were encouraged to stay in town because you do bring a sense of security to the community, as it's mentioned here. Also, you know, you're a part of the community. You get to shop with them. You see officers out in the public. A constituent said to me, well, but then again, some people, like teachers and doctors, don't like, their opinion was, may not want to be in the same area because they want a sense of anonymity. You know, they don't want everybody knowing their business all the time. They'd like a little separation. I understand that you said the state code, we have no right to say where they live. And did I hear you say other municipalities don't really have this type of restriction?
There was, Ms. McGuffin did a survey through one of our local groups, and I think 20 miles was the lowest mileage for that survey.
Okay.
But there are other counties. I mean, you know, you have Campbell County deputies that live in Amherst and vice versa. And
you've got Nelson County deputies living in Lower Madison Heights.
Yeah, and I've even expressed that I believe I've seen an Amherst car crossing the Buckingham line on my way to work some mornings here recently. So I don't know if there's a...
There was.
Yeah.
At one time, I know there was some Amherst County deputies that lived just inside Buckingham.
Yeah, because I've passed them a couple mornings at the Buckingham line on my way to work. So... And that's 30 miles down 60.
Okay. So, and one other thing is, another person said, well, if you allow, because I said, well, maybe we could have some rule or law that says an officer needs to stay in town. Someone needs to stay in town, whether it's a chief, you know, a detective, whomever. And they said, no. This is this person's opinion, not mine. I'm just relaying a community concern. They said, no, if you allow for one, you have to allow for all. That was this person's opinion. These are ideas that I've spoken to.
And the other thing, and I think I'll address that quickly, too. If you require one of the officers that live here in town, which is not but two?
That's correct.
Two?
Three.
You would have to pay one of the three if you require them to stay in town.
What?
Yes, because if they're not working and we set out a policy.
Oh, just like the home.
Just like the thing. We're requiring them to stay at home for the weekend because everybody else is gone. We're going to pay them for the weekend.
And then also, so we do this and all the officers leave town. What are we going to do to make them want to stay in town? It'd be nice to have them on my street. You know, Bobby Motley was there forever, you know.
Well, times have changed.
I know. And he was probably the only one around. But how do you, what can we do to maybe encourage them to maybe look in town or stay in town?
We can encourage them, but the issue I see from, and I still do research, and through VML I get a lot of information. The thing is, there are police officers that would love to work in the town. Or any other town that has a restriction, but they already have a house, their kids are going to school, they're set up.
Okay, I get.
And so we can say, hey, you know, if you get a chance, you might want to look at the town, but.
But what could we do to, what type of incentives can we keep people in town that are already here?
As far as keeping people in town that are already here, I don't have an answer for that. But I know, I don't remember if it was a VML comment or at one of my recent trainings I went to, they were talking about how more and more localities were going away from the requirements of people living here, even for the department heads, because it was becoming so much harder to hire somebody with today's housing market. So a lot more localities are going away from it, But in turn, they were saying that some localities were, and this is way outside of our realm, I wouldn't even suggest it because of expense-wise, some localities were actually going as far as purchasing property and houses to house their department heads, kind of like pastors at churches where you house them. So they were going as far as purchasing property to house their department heads or giving them, I don't know, a $10,000 to $20,000 sign-on stipend for moving. The statistic was that compared to pre-COVID to now, that the average person needs a $30,000 raise to accommodate for their increased mortgage if they were to buy another house now, if they had already purchased pre-COVID. They would have to have a $30,000 raise to accommodate.
So that's like the set cost of making a move. If you just think about what it costs today to make a move because of the change in interest rates and everything else.
I have an idea on that.
So we have had some very, you know, just kind of preliminary thoughts and discussions on staff about, you know, there are localities that do down payment assistance. There are localities that do bonuses if you move to a particular geography. You can do a salary supplement if you want to incentivize. So there are localities, and you have a lot of legal right if you wanted to incentivize it. There are a lot of ways you could choose to incentivize living within town. Your current structure is that the only person who is required is me. That's done by charter. But if you wanted to say, we don't want to go down the road of requiring department directors, but you know, we want all of our employees to have the opportunity to live in town, and we recognize that living in town or buying a home in town may be more expensive or something. You could choose to say, you know, we as a town will do, you know, one of these things. The easiest of those to do is a salary supplement, just because when you start to get into the realm of doing down payment assistance or doing some of those other things, it's a harder thing to deal with if that person separates from service.
Can you explain that last statement? When you say separate,
like if somebody goes and gets another job, so if we give somebody, say we did down payment assistance and said, if you buy a house in town, we're going to help you with $20,000 of down payment assistance. And then a year later, they go get a job working for the city of Lynchburg who doesn't have any kind of residency requirement. How do we then get that money back? It's just... That becomes a harder, it becomes very cumbersome.
And that's a lot of money, but
you can do a lien. You can, I mean, there are things you can do, but it just from an administrative point of view, that is a more complicated way to go.
Andre's got something, but Jared, would you like to say something? You've been sitting there very patiently.
No, you go ahead, Andre.
Okay, Andre, go ahead.
You go first.
Hey, you want to roll? Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted. We cannot require any officer to live in our town, right?
Correct.
Right.
So I'm very concerned about having a police department, a town police department, where no town police live in the town. That's kind of like scary to me. Now, I know we can't demand them to live in town, but I have an idea like, in order to have a police live in our town, we could do it in the way we hire them. Like we could create like what we consider a rapid response team, and we have them under that team, under that department, our rapid response department, and they would get an incentive for being part of that team. And those, I would just say, example, two officers hired as rapid response officers in that department, and knowing they're gonna have to live in town. And we give them incentive for taking that position.
What kind of incentive are you talking about?
Money. People love money.
Yeah, I'm going to give you my opinion real quick and you finish.
I know you're against it.
Yeah, and the reason is, I don't think you're going to be able to hire two people as a rapid response unless you give them a god amount of money, crazy amount of money, because then again, we're talking about unless it's some single guy.
I think we could.
We haven't been successful in hiring anybody.
Well, I tell you
2 years.
Because we have three living in town now.
Because they want to.
If we put two of them on our rapid response team, that guarantees us two officers on within the town, in the town limits all the time. And we hire the other officers, they can live in Alaska if they don't go over 20 miles. You know? I mean, that's something I'm thinking about. I'm absolutely wrong.
Well, I like that idea, but isn't rapid response, isn't it like quick action? But If it's something that important, wouldn't you be calling all the officers in? I mean, do they come in?
Well, no, well, no, the point is to have them here responding before the other officers can get here.
What happens if they're gone? That's the thing we
discussed. Gone where?
Vacation.
Lynchburg, vacation. Visiting their parents up in Livingston.
Yeah, that is a week or two a year, but basically we would have somebody here. It's kind of hard to have a town police department with no police living in the town. It's like we just come out the same, just having deputies and not having police.
Well, we got half of them living here.
You know? We got half of them living here now.
That's what I'm talking about. So why would it be hard to create this team, this department, to make sure they're here?
Well, why would you create a team when you could just simply give them an incentive to
continue
to
live here.
That's the same thing I'm talking about.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the same thing I'm talking about.
That's right.
We're the same thing.
Yeah, we are. We just.
But
I don't think we need
to call a rapid reaction. No, I'm not saying. That was an example.
Okay.
That's just an example, you know.
You're open.
Did y'all get me on that?
You're open to the idea of incentivizing living in town with a monetary.
Yes, but with a contract that they are going to live here in that position that they're taking. That's why we've got to create
so
a position.
That goes back to the same thing from state code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can.
There is no position you can create outside of a department director or above that you can require living in town.
That need to be changed.
It was changed, and it was changed to this.
See, there isn't a position you can create. So if you want to do something, it has to be an incentive structure.
Yeah, you have to say, if you will live in town, we will give you X amount of dollars more.
But if that's the route we have to go, that's better than doing
that. But the day you leave, you lose it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't take it with you.
And I wonder how that would work as far as stipend. Like, you know, with stipends, we don't have to pay the benefit on the stipends. Like, you know, with the teachers, if you have a master's degree and you're in a regular teaching position, they get $5,000 stipends each year, but it doesn't go on top of their VRS salary. So we're not taking on that extra expense.
We've got to do something to make sure our town is protected.
So for the sake of time for this evening, though, and knowing that we need to get through this, can we agree on the 20 miles and possibly think about an incentive policy to bring back?
Yeah, let me throw something with you. Can we, and I agree with exactly what Tracy said, we agree on the 20 miles, that could be voted on tonight if we decide, and then we can come back and, you know, y'all things, do we want to incentivize these people to stay? Yes, Mr. Tracy.
Let me throw my rock in the cereal.
Okay.
What's the potential of staging the vehicle within 20 miles, and the officer lives outside 20 miles?
Well, this goes back to one of the things I said in the beginning. Then they're responding in their personal vehicle. If they wreck and wrap it around a tree.
But they're only responding for 5 miles.
It doesn't matter. If you know, 5 miles is 5 miles, but if the car is parked 20 miles, of course, you would have to worry about security issues. It depends on where it's parked. And then the other thing, it doesn't matter whether they live a mile outside the 20 miles. If they're responding in their personal vehicle because they've been called out and they wrap it around a tree, their personal vehicle, that's the same thing.
But mileage is much different. Instead of the full 20 miles, 25 miles that he lives outside of town, he drives 5 miles into where the car is staged, and then he drives the police car in the rest of that takes care of the liability.
Well,
I don't think we should leave our cars anywhere.
Yeah, leaving your cars.
No, not a police car.
I'm just throwing that out.
Because basically, if you'd have done that, and I think it had been discussed before, I'm not sure if it was this police department or wherever. If you don't live within that mileage, the police car comes back to the police department, and that's where it's parked.
Well, and then that leads me to a question, because I remember we had a state trooper that was supposed to be stationed within Buckingham, so he would park his car at another state trooper's house that was at the line. He would live in Prince Edward, but he would park his car at the other state trooper's house that lived at the line. So are we going to, you know, like, is that... Then with that...
The thing is, that wasn't legal.
I think that's a pain.
That wasn't legal, what he was doing. because they go by your addresses. So what he was doing wasn't legal. He was probably using the other trooper's address as his address.
Well, now state police, they live in Amherst and work down in Buckingham.
Well, 15 air miles, yes they can.
Brian, you have an idea?
No, sir, just waiting on the decision.
Let's throw it to Jared.
So it sounds like it's two separate issues, because part of what we're talking about is like basically 24-hour coverage, which instead of, you know, we can incentivize people with a stipend or something to live in town, but as far as having, you know, talk about responding in a town and half-assing to get here, to me that sounds more like, you know, we want 24-hour coverage, which is a whole other thing. But as far as the 20 miles, I mean, you've got to set up mileage somewhere. You don't want people living in D.C. and driving a car to D.C. But so, I mean, to me, it's also, you know, it would incentivize some people to want to look here, like you said, because it's, hey, I got to take home a car. So you're opening your pool to more people that, you know, give them, if we couldn't compete on pay, oh, well, you get to take home a car, you get this, you get that, stipend for living in town. So
it also make somebody from way outside that district or our 20-mile radius that is saying, hey, this job, town, you know, everything I hear about the town's a good job. First place, if they don't live here, the first place they're going to come look is the town.
Right.
And then they're going to work themselves out.
Right.
You know, that's the first place they're going to look. Then they're going to work themselves out.
Because it opens it up to more people, because if you can't afford to live in town or already have a house in the county, or it gives you more options on.
You mean like within 20 miles?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I was running the very first time, it was said to me that it would have been nice if the officers would have been able to live outside of the 20-mile, I mean.
Outside the town.
Correct. And have that, I don't think there was a discussion of mileage,
right,
but just some leeway. And they felt even then it was hard. Now, this is, what, almost 8 years ago? It was hard to find people to come in then. Now, I can't speak to that, whether that's true or whatever.
It was starting right before you left. The recruiting was starting to get to hurt.
So basically, the long story short is, for me, I'm interested in this, I want to hear this again. Right now, Chief Watts, it doesn't matter which title or rank you have, he is able to live in Lynchburg by law, but he's not allowed to take the car home, per the way we have it set up now, or any other officer. They are allowed by law to live anywhere.
Correct. We can't
stop
them.
They just can't take the vehicle home. That's
right.
The caveat we have. But, okay. And the only reason we're concerned about this distance, more or less, is the vehicle. How many miles is put on it, or wear and tear, when actually that, as I learned before, the road miles aren't as important as the computers and where they're starting up and starting off. So what would be the difference if they drive the car home? I mean, you know, you can drive the police car and drop it off at the police station. You have to turn it off. What's the difference of driving 20 miles?
None.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to stop it and start it anyway, whatever place
right.
You're in.
So I think, yes.
Mayor, we've beat this horse now
right.
For 23 minutes. Let's go on and do what we're going to do with the mileage, and then if we want to talk about it later, coming back and incentivize.
Well, that's what I had put out.
I'd already said
that.
Well, let's do that.
Let's do 20 miles, and then if we want to go with the incentive or anything like that, we can come back and readdress it at a future time.
Yeah.
One last thing. Is it okay if I ask you, Chief, what is your opinion on hiring? I mean, who does the hiring? You do the hiring?
Chief.
I do.
Have you had applicants turn you down for the rules that we have established?
Yes, ma'am. I had a very good applicant who wanted to come here. He lived, I think, 7 miles, and that was his only request. He said, I want to come there. I've worked with this guy on the road before. Good guy. And he turned us down because he couldn't have a take-home card. Now he's out of the pool completely. He is no longer in law enforcement. And that's unfortunate because he was a good officer. Over 7 miles.
Yeah.
Now, I have had other people that wanted to come, but the reason they were fleeing their department, it was not good. They would not be a fit here. They would not work appropriate in this town.
And if I may ask another question,
We're gonna wrap this up, so
okay,
go ahead.
Okay, one other question is...
Well, we don't motion until we have...
One other question is, do you believe that they would be willing to move these applicants? Do you think, whether they were strong applicants or not, would 20 miles make that much of a difference to someone or officers?
For as far as take-home car?
Mm-hmm. A new way of doing this?
It would open up a much bigger applicant
pool. You think that would...
There's a lot of law enforcement officers that live within that 20-mile radius.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's move on. Tracy?
Okay. New employees go from 6 months to 1 year probationary period.
Okay. We're good with that.
Good with that?
Good with that.
What was, just real quickly, no discussion, what was your basis for that?
That's a deep one.
No, I mean, was it consistent with other counties around, or is it things that we've seen?
Running into new problems.
Okay.
Running into new problems.
Generation, whatever they call this.
There you go.
Generation.
Give an example, if you don't mind.
I think that runs into with us updating an attendance policy. We're finding with the generational gaps, more call-outs, more reasons for call-outs, people using more and more of their time. So we're running in, especially with police and plants, where if somebody calls in, you're having to call somebody else in. So then that takes into account maybe your comp time, or if we had a reason to pay out overtime, to pay out overtime. So you're not only disrupting your work day that day, then you're disrupting somebody else's day off because they have to come in. Whereas, I mean, in my office, if I call out or Patty calls out, you know, somebody else is there to pick up the slack, and it's not affecting anything. But in plants or for the officers, if somebody calls out, then somebody else's day is also messed up. So we're starting to see, along with the new hires, a lot more call outs for various reasons that we're trying to catch quicker now.
So do it 6 months versus a year?
We're doing
a year versus 6 months.
Yeah.
We're good.
Okay.
Everybody good?
That's what you see.
Yeah, next. Move on.
Okay. Hours of operation update. That's nothing really new. It's just wording. That's great. Telework policy has been put in here. That was not in our original personnel policy. We have a telework policy that we kind of go by now, but that was not actually in the previous personnel policy. Flexible scheduling, travel time. Do y'all want to go over travel time?
That's set by federal law, isn't it, or state law? Or the time or the mileage?
Well,
that's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
I thought that was kind of straightforward.
We were looking, there's different ways to look at travel. So, well, travel time has to be from here to your place. But then we also did an update on, I did an update on on-call. Currently right now, our employees, if they're on-call, this is for plants, for maintenance. If you're on-call, you get paid 2 hours of time per day that you're on-call. But if you get called out, there's no incentive for getting called out. So in this policy, I did update, you get the 2 hours for being on your on-call, but you also get an incentive when you're called out. So if you get called out, you'll also get overtime pay regardless if you're called out for an emergency. That was just another little incentive for the maintenance crew because currently they only get the 2 hours if they're on call. They don't get anything extra if they're called back out for an emergency.
Oh, so like if they're out 3 hours or 4 hours additional to the two, they didn't get nothing?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm good with that.
Yeah, okay.
And then
there's also reasons for the call out and what we consider an emergency. Same for police, if they get called out there's no incentive for that. So they would be included in the emergency request for assistance. They would automatically get the overtime for getting called out. Deductions, paydays, advances, personnel records, straightforward, annual leave. Did we change anything? Annual leave and sick leave. So currently right now, VRS has three plans. You have plan one, plan two, and then you have the hybrid. Under the hybrid, we have to, as an employee, provide a disability benefit to the hybrid VRS employees. So as long as they've been working with us for a year, we have to pay them 60% of their pay if they go out on a short-term disability up to 6 months. That is a benefit the plan 1 and 2 don't get. So a lot of localities have changed their personnel annual and sick leave policies where hybrid employees do not get as much leave. So right now, plan 1 and plan 2 employees are able to carry up to 288 hours of annual leave and up to 520 hours of sick leave. The thought process is your hybrid employees don't need that much leave because they automatically have that short-term disability. So we are changing, we have proposed in this where our hybrid employees would go to a PTO. You would get less hours under a PTO bank, but it wouldn't be divided between annual and sick. So whereas we have the ability to get, 820-some hours total, they would only get 520 total because they get to leave. They get their required sick leave. Yep.
Okay, I just have one question because I was actually still working when the state did this.
Okay.
And I'm going to use Ryan as an example. Ryan, I don't know which program he's under, but let's say he's under 1 or 2.
Yes.
Okay. Does he have the right to keep that program?
He has to now. Or police are not eligible for hybrid. That is a benefit because hybrid is a lesser benefit. Right. So police, they are either plan 1 or plan 2 under VRS. The newer employees that are coming in will all be hybrid right. If they haven't had so many years in VRS. But if you wanted to make that change, you had to when that plan came out in 13 or 14, whenever the hybrid plan came out,
yeah.
You had to make that non-revocable election then. You can't make it now. You don't have the ability to make it now.
And I knew that. I was just, I got it because that's what happened to us. So,
mm-hmm.
And I stayed with the old plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's what I was checking that the, because, you know, after that date, all state police employees had hybrid. Whether they wanted it or not, they were hybrid.
Really?
Yes.
Exactly.
When they hired them, new hires.
So
the police don't have that.
The state pension program, which localities can participate in, the plan 1, which is the old plan, has a greater retirement benefit than plan 2. Plan 2 has a greater retirement benefit than hybrid. So what they're doing is the state is essentially bringing down the amount of the retirement benefit. If you're a hybrid employee, which is what I am, you can get an enhanced benefit by putting your own money in, and your employer is required by the state to put a portion in as well, so that it can bring me to the amount that a plan 1 employee would get. But I have to put my own money to get there. Like, I have to also put money in. Part of what we were thinking with this hybrid benefit, when I was out for those 3 months, even I had a full sick bank when I went out. But even with being out for 3 entire months, when I came back, I still had over half my sick bank because of the fact that as a hybrid employee, I have short-term disability. And so 60% of my pay was coming to me regardless from the town without using an hour of sick leave.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a benefit. There's the benefit that the state has given hybrid employees. Now, note, the state benefited from decreased cost on their end by doing this program. Those costs got shifted to localities. It is more expensive for us as a locality to have a hybrid employee. That is just the way it is. So part of what we're doing is we are actually looking to ratchet down the benefit cost of those employees, including myself, so that if they are out on disability, they're not getting this huge disability benefit, plus they still have this enormous sick leave bank. Another thought that we had is because the hybrid employees are generally, other than people like me, generally younger employees, that generationally, it may also be an incentive for those employees to not take so many unplanned sick days when it's coming out of the same bank as their vacation time.
Mm-hmm.
So PTO time is just one kind of time. And so our other hope is that if we can kind of come up with the right amount, that we'll also manage to help give people an incentive to plan their time off rather than going, I don't feel great, I don't want to go to work today.
Or it's Super Bowl Monday.
So there's a couple factors to this, but part of it, honestly, is that hybrid employees are more expensive employees, and we would like to ratchet down the cost of those employees. From a benefits point of view.
Thank you all both. Please proceed.
Okay. So that takes care of the PTO, employees, leave of absence. Donation of leave policy. This is a slight add from our original policy. You can donate leave. However, it has to be vacation leave, and you cannot donate sick leave, and you cannot donate to a hybrid employee because of their short-term disability benefit and the cost behind that anyway. FMLA, this is a change from our policy as well. We have learned, even with the change in the language, that because we do not employ 50 people within a 75-mile radius, we do not have to honor FMLA. So that is in this policy, that as the town of Amherst, since we do not employ 50 employees within a 75-mile work zone, we will not honor FMLA because of the burden it puts on the town when somebody is out for that long.
But if we get over...
Yes, and that is worded in here. And at any time we go over that 50-employee mark, then we have to under law, and that's referenced in here as well in case there ever is a change. I don't know when this would ever hit us, but a lot of localities are going to this, so I did add it. There is an addition in here for parental leave, which you have to be employed in the town for a year to have that parental leave, but that's for a mother or a father. So if that's okay with y'all, then...
That's pretty much the way the world is now.
That's the parental leave part. Leave without pay. That leave without pay must be approved in advance. That talks about our absences. This is the attendance policy that I spoke about earlier that kind of went in connection with going from the 6 months to the year. So under the attendance policy, we are suggesting that employees can have 3 unexcused absences in a year. Besides that, they have to have a doctor's note. Benefits, health insurance, COBRA, employee assistance, retirement. We have added a piece because this is something that we've had to do on a couple of occasions, so just putting this in policy. If you start to take time off without having your leave to compensate, then you need to reimburse the town for your benefits. So, like, if an employee, in an 80-hour work week, if an employee only works 40 of those 80 hours, then they need to reimburse the town for 50% of their benefits that were paid on their behalf.
If they're doing it not all, no pay, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Because the thought process behind that is you're giving benefits in exchange for your work. If you're not here to work, then we shouldn't be burdened with the cost of your benefits. So that's just put in there to take care of that, what we've asked a couple of times, so that it's in writing. Tuition, that was all in the other policy. In addition to the tuition that was also in the policy before, you know, we have a tuition reimbursement with a past fail grade of a B or better and approved in advance. We also added that if you leave within a certain time frame after the town has paid for your education expenses, that you'll reimburse the town those percentages based on the amount of time afterwards. So if that was okay, or if y'all looked at that.
Good.
That was all PPE, maintenance guys wearing their required PPE. Travel and reimbursement. A change from the old personnel policy is if the town vehicle is available, then you don't get paid for your personal vehicle if you use it. There's also additional wording in here for what the town will reimburse you for as far as hotel accommodations and meals. There and other personnel policies, and this one came from Town of South Hill. I'm pretty sure this came from the Town of South Hill. This talks about your per diem based on where you travel to. So, like, you know, if you go to Northern Virginia, then you have a higher per diem than if you, you know, you're here. So, and then there's also an online IRS table that gives us those reimbursement rates. And we would use those tables based on where you travel to during your travel.
States also got one somewhere, because that's what we used when we did our reimbursements. I don't know where to find it. It's probably easier to find with IRS, but I don't know where it's at.
And this may be, it's M and IE rates, so yeah. Whatever table that is.
Yeah. I mean, it even had different states and everything in it.
You guys should know Services Administration. So that's where that came from.
Okay. Maybe the same thing.
Special business meetings, reimbursements, standards. I just put a lot of this in here because, you know, you never know when you're going to run into it. We seem to be running into it a lot more these days. Common sense is out the window, so I guess we need to spell it out in the policy.
Oh, I like that. Cell phones shall be silenced during meeting.
We also added a no video or voice recording policy. And that is unless you're meeting with a department head or Ms. McGuffin. They have the right to do that, but we did add a no video or recording policy with your cell phones. Business etiquette's all straightforward, I think, but just felt the need to add it into a policy.
A lot of this is probably stuff we've been doing, but now it needs to be codified right in there.
That's what I was so amazed when I read all of it. Yeah. What is all this? It's crazy.
You never know.
You can't get away with anything anymore, can you? I'm sorry.
Internet, computer use. Ethical behavior, conflicts of interest.
One moment of applause.
Can y'all think of anything that you want to specifically look at? I mean, I think a lot of it, especially towards the end, is straightforward. It's just the point of putting it in words.
One thing I noticed, it's a difference when hiring their attorney, that seemed like the counsel had been taken out of that process. Is that right?
What now?
When hiring an attorney?
That wouldn't be part of this. That would be with y'all's, the town's, that the General Assembly passes.
The charter.
There you go. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for.
I don't understand what you mean. Who hired an attorney?
Now, the town council is not involved in bringing on a new attorney. I think only the administrator.
No, that's never been changed.
Okay.
They have to be approved by us.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, we have to hire the new town attorney.
Okay, okay.
Okay. Violations, investigation, harassment complaints. Like I said, anything specifically y'all think y'all want to look at, or do you want to go back and start talking about the incident?
No, I think we've pretty much hammered out today. What do you guys think?
Now, I read through the whole thing. I was, you know, I didn't have a lot.
Yeah.
Of issues.
I didn't either, I think we hammered out a couple of our major issues. We got them hammered out and whatever. So if nobody has anything,
I don't know what y'all.
I'll call it.
We're still at the point where if someone want to bring up an issue, still have to wait a year. Or where are we on
that? That's on something we'll talk about.
That's on the rules of procedure.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I'll tell you what. Saw Vicki run out. We will recess and come back at 7:00.
Do we
we don't take a vote here in this one?
No, because we're recessing.
Okay.
No, we typically, by practice, wouldn't vote at the work session, so you can have your discussions here, and then we...
Somebody said at the end, and I just...
No, we...
Okay, the only thing that we have changed in this is instead of 20 miles and inside the county, it's just 20 miles.
20 miles, yeah, we took the county point out.
They can go into Nelson, if it's 20 miles, they can go into Nelson.
Just inside.
Yeah, wherever the 20 miles.
It's 20 miles.
Please remember, you are...